Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Okay, so this is a very quick change, but welcome to Podcast 2187. We were talking about stuff, but that's over now, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, this is episode 38, and that means we're two away now from episode 40. Because I can do a little bit of math, so there you go. I'm breaking that news right now.
I like 38 better, because it's a multiple of a prime number.
All right. So we, as always, I know we have Rebels to talk about, and some other stuff, including news that's not really that surprising about the Han Solo movie with Lando casting and Donald Glover being cast as the young Lando Calrissian. So I'm sure we'll get to all that. First, I would like to welcome all of you. There is Mark and Andrea and Jared. So how are you all doing at this very moment?
Should we answer at the same time?
I really don't even care.
Good. I'm good.
Also good.
Great.
Okay. So, all right. That was not all at the same
time.
How
are you, Tim?
Oh, I was going to say that. You stole it.
Ah, sucker. How are you, Tim?
I just finished watching the Rebels episode, actually, and I had a blast with that. So I'm on a high note right now.
This is the first time I haven't, since the new season started, watched it directly before we recorded. So I'm impressed that you took that torch from me. I still watched it this afternoon, but it was like an hour ago.
Well, which did you guys want to get to first? Did you want to do Rebels first or the Donald Glover news?
Do we know that Andrea actually watched Rebels, or is she going to
pick her way through it? I've watched every episode. I don't know where this comes from every week.
The only person who ever hasn't yet this season is Tim.
Why are you bringing that up right now?
Yeah,
is that necessary? I don't even know.
Scapegoating me.
It's totally relevant to the conversation. We're mischaracterizing Andrea with stuff you did.
We? Who is we?
Mark.
I meant we as the podcast, the royal we.
Are you feeling triggered?
Yeah.
Wow. Too bad. This is not a safe zone. There's no safe spaces here.
Whoa.
This is making it worse.
Exactly. I'm perfect at that.
I think that's something we can all agree on.
So, Rebels.
Wait, did we decide which one we're doing first? Let's do Danny Glover first.
Okay, so Danny Glover.
Too old for this crap.
Yeah. No, I feel like I keep hearing people, and I've heard a couple of people talk about it on podcasts. I've talked to people in person about it and online, and I keep hearing people say they're not that familiar with his work. And I haven't seen all of the Atlanta that's come out so far, but I've seen the first several episodes, and I've seen all of Community and his movie Super Team, Mystery Team that he did with his college acting troupe that he created. I think it's called something Derek comedy or something, but I'm pretty familiar with his work, and I enjoy it, and I think he's got the range, and I think he'll be able to do a good job. But he's not who I would have thought they would have picked, or who I would have wanted them to pick necessarily. I don't think he looks that much like him, and I was wanting them to pick an unknown, but I feel like as a guy who was like 5'10 until he was like 24 and then had a growth spurt late in life and is now 6 foot, I feel like there's a difference between 5'10 and 6 foot. I feel like he's too short in a weird way.
Okay. Why can't they just have him wear like little heels?
Well, he'll have to wear lifts.
Yeah, that's not a big deal.
Can I ask an odd question that I mean no offense by whatsoever, but I'm going to ask it anyways. And if you guys, if anybody gets angry, it's at Griddle Marks on Twitter. So feel free to let me know.
What is your question?
When is this movie filming, first of all? When does it start filming?
I think they start in January.
Okay. When's Black Panther filming?
I have no idea.
I mean, is it legitimately possible that every cool, awesome black actor that they could think of with somewhat notoriety is already in Black Panther?
No.
They are casting a lot of high quality,
but African-American, I don't think,
and otherwise black actors.
There's a million of them, and I say that, you know, with a little bit of a joke, but I mean, it's like you know, I've seen people go, oh, I wanted Michael B. Jordan. It's like, well, I think Michael B. Jordan's already in a pretty high-profile movie that's filming at the same time.
Oh, so yeah, it starts filming in January, too.
Yeah, so...
I didn't think it would start that early.
There's some solid... There's a ton of solid actors in that movie, and, you know... Not every Michael B. Jordan can't play everything, as much as I love the guy.
I love him, too, but, again, like, I would have gone with an unknown over any of these guys, because... I just think of Lando as Billy Dee, and part of it is because he does Lando in everything. I mean, he does Lando in Rebels. He does Lando in Robot Chicken. It's like, I just think.
So Danny, is it, who's it? Donald
Glover? Donald Glover.
Okay, Donald Glover is an unknown as far as I'm concerned. The only thing I've ever seen him in
Community.
Was The Martian. I didn't watch Community. The only thing I ever watched him in was The Martian.
He's not unknown.
Yeah, he's not unknown. He's a successful rapper. He's he got to start on 30 Rock. He is. And he got to start writing for 30 Rock and then went into Community straight from that. Like, he's pretty well known, I think, for a young
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We live in a bubble, okay? I know who he is. But, you know, having you know, less than 10 million people a week watch a TV show doesn't make you famous. It doesn't make you a household, you know, celebrity or a household name. You know, you look at especially now. I mean, there's so much news about how television shows are incredibly tanking as far as ratings go. But even historically, you know, TV shows aren't like what they used to be as far as, you know, you're on a TV show and you're a name. Most yeah, like
not,
that.
He's not so like Daisy. Like, he's not like never.
Yeah, no.
He's not a face like. He's not one that's gonna, in my opinion, pull me out of the movie. I don't have a breadth of things that I know him in to be like, oh, he's ruined it for me.
I feel like he does have a following though because of his rap career, because of his career as a comedian. I see what you're saying, but like all TV has. Crappy ratings that way. I mean, you know, especially, and ratings are an old metric. Like, they're based on Nielsen ratings when people don't watch TV that way at all anymore. Like, most people, yeah, don't. None of us do, I don't think, for the most part.
Nielsen's trying to fight it, I think, somehow. There's some.
Nielsen sent me $2 in the mail to be a person who says what they like, put in those boxes on my TV.
And you're the reason why all these things are getting canceled.
I said no.
You said blow dick. Below Deck. All I watch is Below Deck.
I said I didn't want it. I never mailed it.
Amanda, if you're listening, she's why The Exorcist might be canceled.
Are you done?
No, sure.
No, but also to the point, I've seen a lot of people mentioning how, like Jared, you had said, you don't think he looks that much like Lando, and how that might pull them out. And the way I see that is Alden Ehrenreich doesn't look that much like Harrison Ford either, and I don't see it as being that much of an issue as long as they can sell the character. That's what matters in the end. It's not all about looks.
No, I agree with that, and I've talked with Mark actually before. What feels like, well, it was close to a year ago. It feels like forever ago on Making Indy on its podcast, Keeping Up with the Joneses. The reason why I'm okay with both those choices in the end is because of River Phoenix, because that dude doesn't look anything like a young Harrison Ford, and he totally nailed it. Like, he was awesome in Last Crusade, and you know, rest in peace, because that guy was an amazing actor, and that's what it takes, is an amazing actor who's dedicated to fulfilling that character's legacy. And I like I said, I'm not too worried about it. I think he does have the range. It's just not who I would have gone with. I would prefer someone who did resemble them, who screen tested well, and who was completely unknown, rather than someone who has enough of a rap following that there's going to be people there who are there to see Donald Glover. And that's in a way, I guess, kind of cool, because it could bring in the last, you know, 15 kids in the world who don't like Star Wars already. But I don't know.
And we're used to by now, you know, especially in Star Wars, we're used to you know, Ewan McGregor playing Obi-Wan. We're used to recastings or younger castings, so I think you know, it'll be interesting to see if years down the road, you know, I keep wanting to say Danny Glover, but Donald Glover is somebody's Han Solo. Like, this is the Han Solo for me. This is my Han Solo.
Or his Lando.
Sorry, yeah, Lando. if you played Han Solo, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, that would be controversial. People would be upset about that.
You know, they should just switch it. Let's have Aaron Reich play Lando and you know,
Donald Glover.
I say just make it a Lando movie.
I'd be fine with a Lando movie.
I really do not want this movie, but Donald Glover is the only person who got me hyped. I just think it's going to...
That's the first thing that got you hyped?
Yeah, to be honest. I just wasn't excited about it. I just think they're going to make him, like... They're going to make Han some, like, playboy, and it's going to be just... I just don't care about it.
I think the thing that got me hyped about it was that Lawrence Kasdan and his son were writing it. Because in other hands, it might not do as well, but for him to take it on, who has already written for this character three times, and it's his favorite character, I mean, it's not like he's untested with Han. Or Lando.
It's getting me hyped as a Giacchino score for this.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, they could go a completely different direction.
Yes, we do.
I really don't think we can say that with any confidence.
Because for all we know, at that time, he could be preparing for episode 9.
He could do both.
I mean, in a perfect world, I would like that, I think. But I don't know.
He's got 4 scores this year. He's got Zootopia. Yeah. Oh. He's got Beyond. He's got Doctor Strange. And he's doing Star Wars. I might have even missed one.
Well, he came out with, like, Inside Out and Jurassic World 1 week apart. And, I mean, he can do crazy stuff. There's no, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes was a month before that. And he can definitely do it. I'm not questioning his ability. I just don't know if Kathleen Kennedy is going to say, we're going to split you between these two films, when they could get so many people just lining up to do a Han Solo movie.
Well, and I sort of feel like with the standalone stories, they're probably going to go in a different direction than having one person do all of them, because they are supposed to have all, like, a different vibe and a different feel, each of them, from the main story and from each other. And not to say he's not capable of doing that. I mean, he clearly is, but I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see someone else. I wouldn't be shocked if he did, but...
Look, if you're telling me that Giacchino on Rogue One has ruined my chances of hearing him on any other Star Wars films, I'm going to hurt you.
Hey, I'm not
hoping for it.
Just so that Mark will hurt me.
You're not that far away.
Oh, man. But I haven't given you my address yet, so...
That's true.
Yeah, no, I'm... You know, I would be totally fine if he just took over handling the rest of Star Wars. That's not going to be John Williams. I also think there are other people who are also very capable to do it. I'm not comparing them to Giacchino, but there are other people who could do a good job too. So
I wonder who, Tim.
I honestly, the first person that came to my head was not who you thought.
It's not your buddy.
No.
Not your lover.
So anyway, yeah, so I don't know if we'll be getting Giacchino on the Han Solo movie or not. And,
Andrew, why are you against this movie in general?
Because I just feel like there's better... I don't feel like we really need a Han backstory. I feel like there's other characters which backstory would have been more interesting with. Like,
did we need a Death Star Plans movie, though?
No, but...
I feel like this is going to be different enough. I don't know. I'm more interested in Rogue One because it is a new cast of characters, and yeah, we know the story. But it's, even if it's a mystery, I feel like if the story's well done, it's the journey, not the ending. You know, even if it's a mystery and I know the ending already, as long as they can give me something interesting along the way, I don't really care. But at the same time, I do see what you're saying, that it wasn't anything necessary and it wasn't really treading new ground like some things could be, but Han Solo is not treading any new ground. It's like, it's Han and Lando. They're going to be doing gambler.
Right.
Gambler,
like,
stuff.
We already have Galaxies, Guardians of the Galaxy. Why do I need this?
I feel like that's a totally false comparison. I hate it when people compare Guardians of the Galaxy to Star Wars, and specifically Star-Lord to Han, because he's what a kid who wants to be Han would be like. He's a fake Han. He's not actually.
That's how I feel like the movie's going to be. Harrison Ford is Han. Like, I'm for all
decals. I'm sorry. I love Harrison Ford, but this might be, and this is probably definitely sacrilege to some people in our community, but he's no Alec Guinness. like, and Alec Guinness was Obi-Wan for decades in everyone's mind. And like you guys are saying, you know, we've come to accept two different people as Obi-Wan, I think, as a fan base. You know, we've accepted Ewan McGregor and we've accepted James Arnold Taylor, and they both knocked it out of the park again and again. And Alec Guinness is like an actor's actor, like amazing. And I don't know. Harrison Ford's great, but he's just a charming dude.
See, like, I consider
and opinions do not represent Podcast 2187. The views and opinions are entirely his own.
Yeah,
walking slowly.
Everyone can at me, but
personally, I consider Harrison Ford to be one of the top most elite actors of all time. Anything he's in, he makes the movie better.
Right, I just watched Working Girl the other day. He was great in that too.
Like, for,
he is good.
I just
he
saw...
does have range, but I feel like Han doesn't really show it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because he is Harrison Ford. It's just Harrison Ford in space. And it's great because he's that charming. I don't know. I'm just
scared. But I think being a charming rogue doesn't require a lot of range. I don't think that it's something that only he can do.
I think it's going to be more difficult for people to do than people might think. But I think as far as the character goes and having a movie, if Han Solo in A New Hope is like 50 or 60, then it might make, like, more along the lines of Obi-Wan, it might make sense to give him a backstory. I think the problem some people have is that it feels like he doesn't need one because we see him in four Star Wars movies, and this
right.
is just happening a few years before A New Hope. It's not like there's a whole span of time that we wonder, what is he doing?
Well, and he can't have a huge arc and be a really dynamic character because that would undermine, I think, A New Hope. Because if he already shows that he has a heart of gold before A New Hope, then then that invalidates that character evolution that we see
exactly.
on screen. And like, I've been thinking about it a lot lately in relation to a couple different properties, one of which is Star Wars, but I feel like if a character doesn't change at all and it stays static, then there's only two ways I can accept it. That's if they're a point of view character like Harry Potter in the first few Harry Potter stories. He's very bland. He doesn't change, but it's because he's there so the audience can live vicariously through him. And I feel like the only other option is someone like Aang in Avatar The Last Airbender, who learns lessons, but rather than let the world change him, he changes the world around him. And I think that that's the only two ways I can accept that. And we know Han doesn't start a crazy revolution where everybody becomes super rogues or whatever. like he doesn't start the rebellion. So I don't feel like him being an unchanging character is appealing to me. And I don't feel like he can possibly have an arc that's satisfying. It's just going to be a slice of Han's life. And that would be a great episode of a TV show, maybe, if they had an underworld show. But it's not something I want to see as an hour and a half movie. And I'm ready to be proven wrong. I love Phil Lord and Chris Miller, and I feel like that between them and between the Kasdans, I have a lot of faith that this is going to be an entertaining film, and it's going to be something I'm not expecting. But I also have no idea what that is. Like, I can't picture what's going to be.
Well, and also, honestly, sorry, but I'm really worried about them undermining Han and Leia. Because I love Han and Leia, and I'm worried they're going to make him like a playboy, basically, when he, in the movies, didn't even know how to talk to her half the time.
Yeah, I've heard people express the same idea about Lando, and I think it's really valid. You know, Jason Ward was saying, you know, how much our idea of Lando is informed by all these parodies and other stuff. You know, it's like, so far, we've only seen him on screen in two things, as far as like being a ladies' man, and yet we all think of him as that. And it's like, what, we've seen him try to come on to Leia unsuccessfully and try to come on to Hera unsuccessfully. It's like, is he a ladies' man? what reason do we have to believe this other than a robot chicken sketch or two? None. I mean, I guess comics, but even in the comics that are now canon, there's not a whole lot of that. You know, it's mostly him and Lobot. It's mostly the tragic backstory of Lobot, who is one of the most tragic characters in all Star Wars because of that comic.
Hi.
I just took a quiet drop.
Yeah, I love
Lobot.
We all got our feelings out.
What, am I supposed to say anything?
Well, Mark's usually when the conversation drops down, you did.
Well, you say something absurd.
Oh, yowza. I don't know. What's absurd? I mean, no, I think ultimately that these are just going to be popcorn flicks. And we don't necessarily need anything groundbreaking with a movie like this.
So why couldn't they just make a Leia movie?
A Leia movie?
Yeah.
I'm sure they could.
Yeah.
So maybe they might.
Yeah, but at this point, what would they recast Leia?
Yeah.
We come from at what point, though? Leia at what point?
Like her in the... Wasn't she senator? Why don't they do that?
Because people don't want to see politics. They all complain about the...
And you have that the same is the thing that people issue. Hate most. But said you have the same issue that you do with Han, where we see her still as a senator in A New Hope. And she hadn't been one for that long.
But at least he's running into aliens and possibly Boba Fett and battling, you know, trying to win his ship. And he's out drinking and fighting and smuggling. And there's Jabba and his court. And at least you have that they can throw at it. With Leia, you've got the Senate.
I can conceive of one interesting Leia story, but it would have to be before she's like 16, because it would have to be before her appearance in Rebels, it would be her being brought into the rebellion. It would be her finding out, like, holy crap, my dad's not actually a senator who serves the Empire. He's actually undermining them at every turn and joining maybe at first against his wishes, you know, as a preteen. But then we have a preteen Leia movie, which, I mean, so many people are going to be down on it. How many people do I know who are otherwise, I think, very objective and reasonable, who are like, oh, a YA novel? Well, that's awful. Like, oh, there's no such thing as a good YA novel. It's not like, you know, Huck Finn or Lord of the Flies or freaking Catcher in the Rye or any good. It's like that. Those are all YA novels, and it's a stupid marketing term. It's not an actual genre of anything. It's just an age range that the characters are, and it just means coming of age story. And those aren't bad things, but everyone thinks like, oh, that means it's Twilight. Oh, that means it's Hunger Games, which, you know, arguing the virtues or flaws in those franchises is it's completely its own thing. But I think it'd be difficult to sell a preteen Leia movie, even though there's potentially a really interesting story there.
Well, I would think the most interesting Leia story to tell it for a movie would be along the Bloodline. Not that exact storyline, but that kind of time frame where she's working with, like, politically, but it's more than just that, after Return of the Jedi, especially now that we have seen them in The Force Awakens with a 30-year gap.
Well, as Mark has mentioned before, when the technology that they use in, like, Ant-Man for young Michael Douglas is more affordable, I think that would be interesting to do. But I wouldn't really want to see – I don't know. It's going to happen eventually. They say they have no interest in it right now, and they don't, I'm sure. But eventually they're going to recast Luke and Leia and Han in that in-between era. And I want to avoid that as long as possible, because I see them as all those people, and I think younger is easier to do than in between, especially when we see them at the end of Return, and now we're going to see all of them afterward. You know, it's like,
and that's fine. But I'm just thinking purely from a story writing perspective, that's going to be the most interesting, most rich ground to work with as far as a story.
No, I can agree. Same thing
with Luke, though. You can't do. There's not many stories you can do about Luke before you first meet him in A New Hope.
I don't see anyone.
Luke doesn't need an origin story.
I don't think anyone wants to know.
Luke doesn't need an origin story. Han doesn't technically need an origin story either. It just happened to be what they chose to give us. I mean, I'd rather have lots of other stuff than this, but I think it could be interesting strictly from a leave your brain at the door sort of film. You know, it'll feel like more spectacle than story. Not that the story's
gonna be bad.
But you're gonna see the Millennium Falcon flying around, and like I said, you're gonna see lots of aliens and Jabba and Boba probably, and all sorts of stuff. And none of it will really have any consequence to anything. But it's probably like the safest bet that they have going.
It is a safe bet, but it feels like all of the stuff that I hear fans complain about you know, whether it's Rebels or The Force Awakens, like this whole vein of complaining is epitomized in the very idea of this. It's like every criticism I hear about The Force Awakens is it's just hitting all the nostalgia buttons. Well, seeing Han be a goofball with Lando and be a gambler and have adventures on the Millennium Falcon feels like it's just hitting nostalgia buttons. Hmm. And if it's inconsequential, isn't that everyone's criticism of Rebels? Like, I don't know. I'm not saying that it's not going to be a fun movie. Like I already said, I'm optimistic and I'm sure they're going to deliver on something I'll enjoy, but I agree with Andrea in that I think they could have gone a lot of different routes that I would have vastly preferred. And I don't know, I'm not down on it, but I'm not sold on it yet. And nothing, like, the most interesting thing to me is the directorial team, because those guys have such range, because those guys have done, like, I can't sell Last Man on Earth enough, because that show is something that is bigger than the sum of its parts and more than it should be. Like, it should just be stupid, but it's actually it actually is like a metaphor for the human existence, and has provides all this deep insight, I think, into the human psyche and human nature and people's insecurities.
Can I ask a stupid question about that show?
Sure.
Never watched it. I keep seeing the commercials. If he's the last man on Earth, why are there other guys?
Well, he's not, but he thought he was for a long time, for all years. Right. He was one. There's such a small amount of people who've survived. Like, it's more than the opposite of decimation, where, you know, decimation is 10% of a population is killed off. It's like more than 90% of the Earth died, succumbed to this virus, and just a few random people have a natural immunity to it. And he is a goofball who, spoiler alert, like he's the guy who actually kind of brings people together, because he circumvents the entire continent spray painting Alive in Tucson on all these billboards, and then goes back to his hometown and waits for people to show up, and eventually people start showing up.
That actually sounds interesting.
It is, and it should be really, really stupid, and like it's created by the two of them and Will Forte, but it's actually excellent. Like they do an amazing job, and like I enjoy it so much. And I liked 21 Jump Street. I liked the Lego Movie a lot, but this is what really makes me think they're going to do an amazing job. Like there's potential for me to go in thinking there's no way this is going to be deep or interesting and actually reveal some truth about Han that I didn't see coming, or reveal some truth about me, you know, through Han. And I'm excited.
Okay, but who has more clout on that film? Them or Kasdan?
Kasdan, I think, as far as the general public goes.
Well, just because the reason that they're doing the film is because Kasdan came in and said, I'll write it, but you're getting those two to direct it. And Kathleen Kennedy said, okay, we'll get those two.
All right, so Kasdan has the last word.
That's how it seems.
So it doesn't matter what these guys want to bring to it. They're guns for hire, and he'll listen to them. But ultimately,
yeah, but he chose them, and I don't know. I mean, the bottom line, I don't think Kasdan has more of a last word than Iger or Kennedy. I think those guys.
Well, yeah.
And I trust Kathleen Kennedy. She's brought in a diverse group of people. I mean, people assume that they got Trevorrow because of Jurassic World, but the only reason he did Jurassic World is because Marshall fought Kennedy for him or over it. Like she said, I want him for episode, I think, 7. And he was like, oh, wait, no, I'm going to steal him for Jurassic World. Like,
if people are down on him directing episode 9.
I know. They don't get it.
They all should see Safety Not Yet Guaranteed. I think that's.
No, they're down even after seeing that. They're saying, I don't get it.
Really?
Man, yeah,
I thought that was excellent.
There's a group out there that I've suddenly come across that are like, oh, I shouldn't even be this guy, and it's like, wait, what? Huh?
I could see some of the criticisms of Jurassic World, not most of the ones other people have. Like, I don't give a crap about her running in high heels. That seems really stupid.
I hear it's a thing.
It's dumb.
It is, but it's also, like, it's no less stupid than dinosaurs. Like, you can't start arguing physics in a world where it's like, well, we can just inject.
It's not a physics argument. It's a practicality of women argument. Why can't she wear sneakers like every other girl on the earth would do? It's not about physics or.
But what do you mean? But she's. There's no opportunity for her to change. She's running for her life after being someone who's.
All she owns is heels.
No, she's giving people business presentations, and then they're being attacked by dinosaurs. There's no downtime for her to be like, I'm going to go to my apartment that's on the island and pick up shoes. There's storytelling reasons for her to – either she runs barefoot and twists her ankle or steps on a stick or something, or she – I honestly wouldn't have minded if she took time to break the heels off and ran in them. That would have made more sense. But I don't really think it's that big of a criticism. I have a problem with it as a feminist, because I don't – advertise and talk about all the time. I feel like being a feminist just means I treat women as human beings and don't underestimate them for no reason, bringing a misogynist bullcrap position towards it. But honestly, my bigger issue is that the lesson of the story seems to be what's her face, what's the woman's name? I can't think of it off the top of my head. She's the, one of the voices in Archer. She's on Married on FX.
Jessica Chastain lookalike.
Not Bryce Dallas Howard, but the woman who plays her sister. She at the beginning of the movie and then at the end of the movie, she's like, one day you'll want kids. Oh, once you find the right guy, you'll want kids. And at the end of the movie, it's like she's right. And I feel like I feel like that's kind of an awful lesson as well, because it says there's only one type of woman, and that's a wife and mother. And to me, that's a real issue with the film. But I also don't know.
It could be, or it just could. It could also be that she's her sister and she knows her really well. I'm not saying that that's the case, but that might have been what they meant when they're writing it. But we also have to remember that Colin Trevorrow is brought on to direct Episode 9. He is not brought on to write it. He and Derek Connolly wrote Jurassic World together. So.
I think it's also important to remember that none of these things are actual. Just those people, you know what I mean? This isn't an independent film where only the two people credited are the ones who were writing it. And look at what's gone on with Rogue One, where when that was announced, there were a lot fewer writers than there are actually going to be, and that are actually going to be even credited. And it's like these are Disney films, you know, in a way, and they're Lucasfilm films for sure. And it's a group effort with a lot of voices and a lot of fingers, you know, messing stuff up or adding to it or making it better. And I don't think we can lay the blame on anyone, not just Trevor or anyone else. But I was just saying the film itself, I think, has in isolation, it has some issues I think are reasonable to criticize for. But I don't think it's a bad movie. I don't think that's like the overwhelming lesson to be learned or that anyone was trying to tell either. Like, it's just one aspect that kind of bugged me.
I just want to hear what your reason is for him not why he shouldn't be able to direct Episode 9. What was your problem with the direction of Jurassic World? I'm genuinely interested. I'm not trying to make a point. What do you not like about it that you don't want to see translated or similar style or whatever to Episode 9's directing job?
Are you asking this in general? Because I'm happy.
Yeah, I never said I had an issue.
Well, because everybody's saying, no, why isn't, like Mark said, they're down on Trevorrow directing Episode 9.
So you're asking this a rhetorical question, not any of us specifically.
not you three, but I'm just saying in general, for anybody who doesn't think he should do it, why not?
No, for a second, I think all of us were wondering who you were talking about on the podcast. Like,
You put it out, anybody listening, if you think Colin Trevorrow shouldn't get the job, tweet Tim.
Yeah, seriously. Because I'm genuinely interested, what about his directing job you think would not go well?
I mean, it had a lot of great action stuff, which, I mean, that's the bread and butter of Star Wars, right?
Fantastic.
I'm just glad he's not writing it.
You don't want Ray running in high heels?
No. I thought that movie was so badly written.
In high heels? Have you seen Safety Not Yet Guaranteed? Or Safety Not
No, I'm speaking only about Jurassic World.
He wrote that without a big corporation.
With a what?
It was a shell of Jurassic Park. It just wasn't good. Anyways.
I think you should watch that though, Andrea, because there's a very well written, woman lead played by Audrey Plaza who doesn't run in high heels, and the movie itself just has a lot of heart. Like, it's all heart in a weird way. I think it's excellent. But I also admit to a time travel bias, because the premise is rooted in time travel, and if it's time travel or a robot or artificial person trying to find humanity, I pretty much give it some level of a pass. So I'm not my most critical.
But I'm really excited for Donald Glover. He's going to be perfect as Lando, I think. Back to our original
I'm very interested to see how it all works out on screen. Obviously, these people know what they're doing, and I'm just interested to see what they're getting ready to show the world, really.
He is the right swagger. I don't know about the guy who's playing Han, because I've never seen him in anything.
Not many people have.
Danny Glover. Too long for this crap.
Yeah, at least our tangent was rooted in Star Wars stuff.
I know, right?
It wasn't about garlic festivals.
I'm proud of us.
Below Deck or anything.
So
yeah,
rare.
I'm
so
almost
rare.
Disappointed in us.
let's move on to the next topic.
Well, let's see. Next, we there's Rebels. So
we're supposed to talk about the new Knights of the Old Republic trailer last week.
We can do that also.
I still didn't watch it, so let me know when you guys
get to
that.
God.
Oh, come on, Mark.
I don't care about it.
But
I don't
want to know your opinion. He asked us nicely.
Okay, I mean, guess what? Here's my opinion. I don't give a
shit. I love
I mean, you can watch it right now.
I'm so sick and tired of these Knights of the Old Republic trailers, and everyone's like, oh my God, it's the greatest thing ever. It needs to be the new Star Wars film.
Well, I don't think that anyone here is saying that. I think they're just
saying you guys.
It was good.
Well, I have heard that, yeah.
You should unfollow some people if they annoy you.
Oh, trust me. I've unfollowed a crap ton this year.
It seems like you have a lot of people you're annoyed with.
Oh,
I'll tell you, half my Twitter timeline is pictures of dogs, and I'm like, this is great. And I just keep scrolling.
you sound like you've got it going on.
I'm very picky with who I follow. I'm sorry to everyone who I don't get a follow back from.
No, it sounds like that when you go on Twitter, you just want to be like, yes, this is happy time. Me, yeah. I've got a mixture of, oh, cool Star. Wait, what? You're saying what about? Oh, Star Wars, dogs. Wait, who? What? I'm feeling bipolar with my timeline.
See, yeah,
I feel the same way.
I feel like a lot of this is directed towards me.
Because of that tweet I mentioned before we started.
Hey.
No, Jared's muted, so I don't really know if he says anything bad or not.
Whenever I'm not first on Jared's file forever, I get real pissed.
Holy mess.
I'm like, oh, Jared. Yeah. Ron's in front of me.
Okay. I haven't even done Follow Fridays in so long because it's stressful.
That's how
for
I
me.
Tell when it's Friday.
I haven't done it because it's Follow Friday. It's so stressful, man. There's like 120 people I want to do every time, and I can't.
Oh, you
got to
cut down.
Remember. Oh, I can't.
That's why I don't do it.
There's the update soon where you can tag like 16 people or something without it counting as characters. That'll be nice. Then I can at least make it in less.
Well, I thought the Knights of the Old Republic trailer was pretty.
It is. It's very cool, and you know what? The one before it. With the two brothers or whatever, it was also pretty cool.
I really would wish they would. Well, that one, the new one, like ties into the old one because the girl's like watching the two brothers fight, and part of it.
And the girl is—I don't know. It reminds me of not Rey specifically, but just of a kid. I don't know of a.
Reminds me of like 11.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. But I like the idea of these. I don't know of kids and learning how to use the Force. It ties into stuff I really like about Star Wars in general and Force mythology. And but it also feels so disconnected from everything. I'm with Mark on some level. If I saw a lot of people saying like this should be the next movie, I'd be kind of annoyed too.
Well, no, but I really want like an open world Star Wars game from BioWare, like on PlayStation 4.
Yeah. I think if they use this kind of setup with, you know, character designs and elements like this stuff, I think that could be a lot of fun.
Because they made, I don't know if you guys have played, like, Dragon Age or Mass Effect. Those games are good. I just want to explore Star Wars with, like, a lightsaber and kick some butts. Well,
okay, so the trailer makes me think that it might be a fun game. But to me, it's also, it's good proof that if you just take a cinematic scene and throw in lightsabers, that doesn't make it Star Wars. And to me, this is almost like a Halo crossover with throwing in lightsabers and some other, you know, like you mentioned with the kids and all that.
But I don't know.
It's fine, like, and I'm sure it's a fun game and all that
all
good
tied
stuff.
To using the Force, though. But, like, there's a bunch of monks and people using that telekinesis all the time in addition to lightsabers. I feel like it's pretty Star Wars.
Well,
I know what you're saying, too, at the same time. Does feel disconnected.
I have the original like Knights of the Old Republic on my phone as a phone app, and that feels very Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean one of the, I don't know which one. Sorry, you cut out for a second. I didn't know you were still going.
No, go ahead.
I did one of the older ones on my computer. I really don't know which one, and it you know it kind of had the same feel of like the Jedi Academy games or whatnot, and I get those. Those are cool. Those are fun. I'm more of the Battlefront type of when it comes to Star Wars games, but and I don't know. I see this trailer, and like I said, it looks like it might be a fun game, but it doesn't excite the Star Wars fan in me to see it.
See, I don't know, man. I want to see stuff in Star Wars that's not just people in white soldier uniforms and TIE fighters. The stuff that really interests me is everything that's in these trailers. So I definitely disagree that it's anything like Halo with lightsabers thrown in, because it's like there's these factions.
Well, I meant style.
I could see that. I guess I don't know enough about modern Halo. I only ever played the first one, and I do see exactly what Andrea means. Like thinking about the trailer when I did watch it, that you know the little girl with a shaved head doing telekinesis she's pretty much 11. At this point, Stranger Things owns that for us right now. I think
that girl from Stranger Things got fan kisses a young Leia. And I was like,
I saw that.
That's mostly why I was like, yeah. There's
She could do the preteen Leia story. See, I think you could actually sell that, though, based on the momentum of Stranger Things. I think you might be able to sell that story.
Yeah.
Well, I think
let's do it.
I think the thing to take away from this conversation is that Mark loved the Knights of the Old Republic trailer.
I think he would love an open world game, too.
Listen, here's my take on it. If it's not canon, I don't care. There you go.
That, you know, I actually respect that.
You can make a shirt. We can put it on bumper stickers. You could tattoo it on my ass. If it's not canon, I don't care anymore. I don't have time for that, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I just want a game that's not like I like Battlefront, but my issue is that I'm not good at shooting games. So I don't want to play it. I want an RPG game.
That's not my kind of game either. Like, I'm no good at them. It's fun, but I just get killed a lot.
Yeah, I played the one we were on Endor, and I just kept crashing into trees over it. it just kept repeating.
Quick question: are you guys watching those Freemason Adventures or whatever the hell they're called?
What?
Oh, the Freemaker Adventures.
Yeah,
I wish it was called the Freemason Adventures.
It's great.
It was just our founding fathers like running around in the Star Wars universe, just George Washington.
Yeah, I'll put in secret signs on here and there. And is anybody watching it or no?
I'm not.
No.
Yeah, see,
I believe they finished it already.
I don't even know what that is.
Did anybody watch it?
It's the Lego thing that's like its own story, and it's not tied to anything directly, but it's like inspired by everything. And I don't think it's supposed to be canon, but it does.
It's not.
It connects a lot with different stuff that is in canon. Like it's about a family during the beginning of the rebellion and Dark Ages who are not actively in the rebellion, but they're having adventures. I think they have a remodeled clanker droid, like a battle droid or something.
Supposedly it was pretty good, but Jared,
I've heard good things about it.
You know, you're a big comic guy, so you understand that there's a lot of great what ifs out there and elsewhere. But still, I love it. They'll never, as good as those stories can be, they're still not canon.
When they combine them with canon, I always find it super awkward. Like for me,
right.
I was always very interested in meeting the Miles Morales of the mainstream Marvel universe to connect it a little bit back to Donald Glover, because that was his first nerd fan casting. Everyone wanted him to be the new Spider-Man before they cast Andrew Garfield. They wanted him to play Miles Morales, the Afro-Latino Spider-Man. But like I don't give a crap about the Ultimate Universe, and now neither does Marvel. After like over 10 years, they destroyed the Ultimate Universe, and they kept like maybe two characters, one of which is Miles Morales because he was successful. But now he exists alongside Peter Parker. But I think that as sci-fi as being bitten by a radioactive spider is, it's different to be a refugee from a destroyed universe where none of your reality exists anymore, and you're in a new New York City with different versions of everyone you know. It's like, to me, that's a completely different story. It's not conducive to the Spider-Man mythos, and it's like, I don't give a crap about a character who's a fish out of water because he literally survived a dimension being destroyed. Like, it would be like having Indiana Jones end up in Star Wars because he went through a portal, and it's just like that for me kind of ruins everything. And
right.
I just don't care. And I'm totally with you about the non-canon thing. Like, I was not really big into the EU because it felt like all of it was ephemeral. Like it could be overwritten at any time because George Lucas was like, oh, that's not really what I meant. Man, none of that counts. That's why in one way, I think Rogue One's kind of cool because it's a definitive version of that story. Because there's like 17 different EU Death Star plan stealing stories just for the first Death Star that they like tried to negotiate. And you know, God bless them, people who tried to create a cohesive EU, they had to negotiate all this stuff that was contradictory all the time. And I don't know. There's something to be said for one cohesive canon. And yeah. I understand that, and that's what made me more interested in reading novels and the comics and stuff. So, I completely respect that position. But no one's asking to play the game. Blake just asked us to watch the trailer.
There's so much.
I just wanted to talk about open world games. I miss Skyrim so much.
Well, it's coming back somehow.
I heard.
We've been talking for an hour, and we haven't touched on Rebels.
But there's a ton of Star Wars in this conversation.
I know, it's great.
That's true. I'm not
Star Wars is Skyrim.
I'm just noticing.
Brother.
All right, let's talk about Rebels.
Let's talk about Rebels.
Are you doing a...
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I'm
doing... You are doing Hulk Hogan.
Or Randy Macho Man Savage. I'm not sure which one it is.
Your brother made me think you were a Hulkamaniac.
Yeah.
All right, anyways.
Hank going to go watch Predator. Rebels, yes. What about it? Go for it.
Got to see Rex in all his dad bad glory.
He was a.
I was like, this is a shout out to dads everywhere. You guys can still do it.
I thought it was a good one. I liked the hopefulness of it. It was a good counter to the Walking Dead premiere's like death of hope. Because I watched it after that, and I felt like it was it's nice to see some hope on television.
No, no spoilers, but I heard that they tried to do a red wedding, and it really backfired on them.
Backfired how?
Like, people are pissed.
It's fantastic.
There is a lot of people who it feels like there's a sentiment now that hasn't existed for a while on that show, where it's just like, it's too dark, there's no hope. Because I mean, a zombie apocalypse show with no hope is like are we just making a checklist for everyone to die? Like, what's the point of keeping the show going? Like, but to bring it back to Rebels, my favorite part was at the end when Rex totally gives Ezra like way more credit, I think, than he deserves. He's like, "You did this, you know, you showed us this," and Ezra calls him out on it. Ezra's like, "All I did was point out that you guys were being manipulated. like there was no way to win." And I liked it that like it felt like people want Ezra to be a Chosen One-esque character, and he just can't be. He can't fit in to that. We know too much about the story. He's not going to do anything really super significant. So I liked that when Rex is like, "You're amazing. You did the impossible." He's like, "All I did was point out the obvious." Like, I didn't really do anything. And I enjoyed that moment.
I would say this season so far, like per capita or whatever, has been the best
so far. Pound for pound, the best Rebel season.
Pound for
ounce. But yeah, you know, looking at the episodes, of course, there's a whole season left, but... I would say collectively, it is the best Rebel season so far. I've enjoyed each episode more than I've enjoyed them individually in the past. I mean, I've always liked them, but I don't know. I think this has got a great feel to it. It seems like they're going more places, doing more things that are going to have more consequence, like we've talked about before. And it's really working for me right now.
I agree.
I agree with you.
I like how you stealth insulted
Tim
by drawing attention to that. Like, who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, that was great. I loved seeing the the destroyer droids, all that. The only thing was the animation. I know some people like really love it. To me, the Clone Wars animation is still great or better. And seeing Rex like doing his fighting in the Rebels animation just felt a little bit off, just because I'm so used to seeing it in that fantastic Clone Wars animation. Not that it was bad, kinda it like, just felt off.
Like Stay Puft Rex.
That's like a budget issue too, right?
It has a fraction of the budget. George was willing to throw his money at it before they. I mean, he produced more than the first season's worth of episodes, at least in part. They were all in partial production before they released the film because he was quoted as literally saying, like, I'm going to make this the way I want to, and someone will air it. It's, you know, it's Star Wars. Like, I don't care who airs it. Like, they can fight over it. And that's, I think, the way to do any art, you know,
he basically said, bite me, I'm doing this.
Yeah, and he was an old, rich dude who at that point didn't think he was going to do any more movies. You know, it's, I think he put all of his Star Wars heart into it, and I think that's what does make it a little different. But I don't know. I do think the animation is pretty good. That wasn't the best stuff in it. I think the best animation we've seen so far is also some of the best music. Isn't that weird Zeb Prophecy Force episode that had some amazingly cool energy effects, and the Kiner just knocked out of the park with that music.
Yeah, I would say that was great. I would say that Kiner's rockstar moment with Rebels was the finale of season two. That music was fantastic.
I agree, Tim.
I've gotten everybody to agree with me so far on Rebels, so hey.
You're going to blow your circuits.
But let's see, what else about it? The end, and I mean like the little last thing you see with the logo and...
mix of the music.
I had seen the logo on Twitter, or the reference to it. I didn't see the actual picture, but that it was a thing that they did. I was like, okay, so that'll be cool to see on the TV show. And I did. I didn't even remotely expect the music, so when that happened, I'm not saying that my heart stopped for a second, but that was a really, really cool half moment.
In a 30-minute show?
Yeah.
27 minutes? That was a cool half moment?
Yep.
All right.
I like
that last.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I like that last week we were talking about how Hera basically only shows up at the end.
And she only showed up at the end.
And that's exactly what happened this week.
Yeah.
But I did love. I liked seeing the droids again. I like their stupid, like, Roger, Roger, that stuff.
I saw that they cut a storyline early when they were writing this episode that Ezra befriended one of them and, like, named him Clanky, I think it said. And then they ended up cutting that from like the second draft.
Good.
I think if I have one criticism of the show so far is that, granted it's a kid's show, I get it, but they've really I think done a disservice to Kanan as far as, you know, him having to deal with his disfigurement. Because he's just out running around and he doesn't need help anywhere. He can suddenly, I know that you, as a Jedi, you know, you can tune it out and see, you know, even without your eyes, but he didn't even need eyes technically. I don't know why he wears that mask, because he's just, you know, in the thick of it. He doesn't need any help. And it's almost like, okay, you made a big deal to blind him and discuss all this, but now he's just as able as anybody else.
You almost forget.
Yeah, it's like it almost feels like blinding him was pointless because there's no ramifications from it.
Yeah, like it, there were, but we didn't see it because it was between seasons.
Yeah, it was seven months or whatever of him being upset. now it's over.
Right, it's like why are you wearing a full on helmet? I don't understand it anymore.
Yeah, I think that's a valid, very valid point. Because
you start watching it, he's running in, he's running here, and he's running there, and it's like, so what kind of sight is he using?
I feel like there should be
Jedi, whatever.
There should be something aboard the ship or whatever that reminds you that it's something he has to deal with. You know, it's not just like snap of his fingers talking to the Bendu, and all of a sudden, oh great, I'm back to normal. I think that's what you're trying to say, and I get that.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever been shown that he can see. It's that he can sense things. You know, that if,
but whatever,
you know,
it is, it's
with
just
everybody
as good
in the Force. Yeah, it's almost like losing his eyes just made him the same old Jedi he was before.
Right,
it hasn't given him any real insight. I don't know.
That could actually be really deep, though. If they're saying losing his eyesight made him the Jedi he was before the Clone Wars, that could be really deep.
When he also wasn't a Jedi before the
that's true.
Wars. You know, he still had a lot to learn.
Yeah, okay, well, not Knight, but you know, same faithful person.
Okay, that's an adherent to the Jedi way.
Yeah,
that's totally fair.
Right,
but I see what you mean.
I mean,
Tim.
I'm not saying that's a personal theory of mine, but
no, I get it. You took credit for it. You made it.
All right.
What's next episode?
I actually didn't see.
Either.
Oh wait, no. But I saw something on Twitter, and I can't remember now. But I did see some reference on Twitter to something.
about all right, the next one. Tim.
Yeah.
Way to come through with that.
Well, it was like last week, so.
Those are some extensive show notes. I saw something on Twitter, but meh.
Speaking of Twitter, though, before we get to this brief text that we have, Mark, you've seen anything interesting on Twitter right before we started the podcast? No?
I saw a lot of love for bobbleheads.
It is a bobblehead pop. That's correct.
Wait. So they're not all bobbleheads?
No, some of them are firmly attached plastic heads onto the little plastic bodies. My other two that were gifts are not bobbleheads, my non-Star Wars ones.
Why haven't they had like a Funko night at like Dodger Stadium or you know, any of the major ballparks? And they have Funko bobbleheads of like baseball people. Because that's not nerdy enough?
I don't know.
It might be happening one day. I don't know. I mean, I don't really keep up with that. We should all be asking Ron.
Yeah, Ron or Jin Marie at Across the Stars. They are my source of Funko knowledge, so they would know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to join in possibly, potentially, to this, take pictures of you and your Funko that Jared and Jin Marie Across the Stars are doing. I'll have to see if I can find a Funko.
Do you have a Funko Pop at your home?
I might, or I might not.
You're blowing my mind here. I feel like I don't even know you anymore.
I might just be holding my middle finger. I don't know.
that's your.
Here was the big thing on Twitter today that no one really talked about: life size Godzilla.
Wait, like, I missed
no human this. Size, not life size.
Human size, Jared. Who's Tomashi Nations, you know who that is?
Yes, I do.
They're making a human-sized Godzilla you can buy for your house.
Like, that no one can afford? Like, I can't afford their, like, 6-inch toys. Like, how much are those going for?
I don't know. I couldn't see because it was in yen, and all it said was human size, and then it was all in Japanese.
Okay, I'm going to look this up right now.
That's amazing. I mean, it was only a matter of time. I mean, if you have, what would be even better though is if you could just step into it, like you're stepping into the costume.
I just like that when I shared with you, like stuff from San Diego that was like 12 inch, 13 inch tall, awesome props. You're like, those are cool, but what am I going to do with them? You're like, I got like I want one of these giant ones. But you are clarifying that it has functionality. You can use as a Godzilla suit.
If you could, but the thing is that all this stuff for me is like, this is, man, if I won the lotto, I'd do this, and I'd get a life-size Godzilla, and I'd have R2-D2 just hanging out in my kitchen, and, you know, all this stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah, they have, like, the remote control R2-D2 that you can actually buy that, like, serves drinks or something. I would buy one of those.
Yeah, I mean, I'd get all sorts of stuff that I'd probably buy real props.
Yeah.
But, you know, sadly, I didn't win the lottery.
There's so always next time.
Yeah, let me just keep pouring money down that hole.
Okay. I'm calculating this for you right now, Mark.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about life size.
A human size Godzilla action figure that a really fantastic company who makes a whole bunch of cool stuff.
But do you know which version it is? Like, is it from the 60s or the Gareth Edwards one or the 90s?
I think it's more the 90s version.
Okay.
Sometimes it's hard to enlarge on my phone. These websites. All right,
the 44, or no, 400, God, 4 million,
is it like pesos?
The 4,482,000 yen statue or whatever replica is $42,981.51.
How much Whoa. Shipping?
How much?
How much is handling?
How much does it cost to ship a person from? I don't know, man. We're gonna have to talk to slave traders to figure this out.
Do they make that in gold, or is that plastic, or what? My goodness.
It's actually a real Godzilla that they just modified somehow.
They just killed and embalmed a baby Godzilla.
Basically.
That's just sad.
Well, that's why I didn't go there, but, you know.
One other thing on their own. It's like my life says Boba Fett. Or life says add it.
And with Boba Fett on top of it.
I go to Jared's house. Come on. Go for a ride. The East Coast guys. But Jared would be close.
The second you get an AT-AT, I will give you my address. I will go for a ride on the AT-AT.
I just accidentally step on your house.
Man, we got to get to the what do you call it, Macquarie thing you were sharing with me. That sounds awesome.
Oh, the Amblin thing, you mean?
Yeah. But it was.
Yeah, there's a art show coming up really soon in LA in December that we might take a trip up to and see if anybody else wants to go. But it's basically 35, 40 years or whatever of Amblin theatrical posters. It's got Struzan's stuff there and his different posters. So it'll have his early works from Back to the Future and his completed versions. I mean, the real poster done. Probably have Goonies stuff. And so definitely going to go see that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm hoping he'll be there because he had a show. There was a show that he did that he was there a couple times just signing autographs. And man, if I can figure out what day he's going to be there. Bring along my Star Wars poster.
Wow. Okay, so, well, no, we have a text, so I can read that. It's from Obi-John.
All right.
He says, if we get an Obi-Wan appearance in Rebels later this season, whose voice acting would you prefer, Ewan McGregor or James Arnold Taylor? It's Obi-John, and how does he end all of his texts?
Knight Errant of the Apocalyptic Order.
No, he says, it's Obi-John, I love you.
Does he love us, really?
He does.
That's the strong words to say to... is he only saying that now because Andrea's here? Has he always loved us? Because I don't remember him saying that.
Well, you know,
he's
did,
always said that.
But he didn't like sign it that way, I don't think, until Andrea showed up or right around then.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, like, well...
I don't know. It's all over Twitter that he loves us. At least, he loves me. I don't know. he's loved me long before Andrea was in the picture.
What can I say, guys? I'm popular.
You are. You bring bring a whole new class of people who might never have discovered the show because they were busy watching Below Deck.
Right, exactly.
Which
you may or may not be sharing the wonderful word of podcast 2187 on a different on a different podcast down the road.
Maybe.
Possibly. We'll have to let everybody figure that out for themselves, but possibly.
Yeah, but
possibly.
But which one, though? If it has to happen this year, James Arnold Taylor or Ewan McGregor?
I want James Arnold Taylor.
I'm conflicted, but I think I agree. I mean, I love Ewan, but he's rusty, and James Arnold Taylor is has more experience and more recent. So I think I'd go with him, too.
And the only reason I'm saying James Arnold Taylor is because the animation is hit. This is his. He's owned this.
Yep.
He's even done it in the first episode of Rebels. So it's his. So if you want to put, you know, if you want to do a Netflix, like, different standalone, I don't know, something completely different, that's fine. But right now, as far as I'm concerned, it's his. I would not watch it, but.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because Ewan McGregor is one of my favorite actors. But, you know, this thing with the animation of Clone Wars and Rebels, and even beyond that, like Battlefront 2, the game, I know James Arnold Taylor did the voice for Obi-Wan in that. He's done it for years. And this is, especially with Clone Wars and Rebels, that is, like you said, it's what he does. That Obi-Wan is James Arnold Taylor in that capacity. So, of course, Ewan McGregor would be great. But I'd rather see him put his time toward an Obi-Wan spinoff film and then have James Arnold Taylor do animated Obi-Wan like he's been doing so well. Especially because we don't get it that much anymore. If McGregor came in to do one episode of The Clone Wars, I think they'd be a little different. But we don't have a whole lot of James Arnold Taylor currently.
Yeah. I need some James Arnold Taylor in my
life. Yeah, I would say James Arnold Taylor. And I would like McGregor to do like Obi-Wan origin while he still looks the part of young Obi-Wan.
And then do we want Kevin Kiner to do the music, or can we have James Taylor do the soundtrack?
Whoever you want, Mark.
I like your joke.
Thank you.
I love James Taylor. And wow. sort of relating to younger replacements, his son Ben Taylor has the exact same voice as him, so he'd do young and old James Taylor in the soundtrack.
So it would be like Gallagher and his twin.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't like
Oasis
franchise himself off. He is racist, but
no, that is not what I said. Oasis. Like an Oasis.
No, not Noel Gallagher.
Oh God, no, just Gallagher, the watermelon guy.
I was like, why are we bringing up Oasis?
No, there's a comedian. Are you not familiar with Gallagher, the comedian, or are you?
No.
Is he Canadian? I think he might be, but he's definitely bigoted. He's gotten in flack in recent years for saying homophobic stuff. But what you're talking about, Mark, he franchises off his identity. He has a twin brother who also toured as him. Like he went on tours doing comedy shows, doing the same shtick he did, where they wore like a golf cap and rolled up their sleeves and destroyed watermelons in front of the audience and splashed watermelon crap all over the people in the front row.
Yeah, and other fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, it wasn't really like the greatest highbrow comedy.
Wow. So are you guys Team Oasis or Team Blur?
Oh, ooh.
Whoa. Why does it have to be one or the other? Oasis is also just a lot of fun just for the like brothers fighting, infighting right. factor. Like right. I think they're much more entertaining than Blur, not as a band, but just as like a concept.
But What's-His-Face loves cheese, like has a cheese shop now, one of the guys from Blur. Alex, is that his name? The guy who played bass.
I do like Blur, and Blur's better than, I think, just what they're known for. A lot of people only know the one big hit here, but they're a pretty good band. Man, you're asking tough questions.
I would say Oasis, personally.
The Palisades in L.A.?
The Palisades?
Palace.
Have I been? No.
You know what it is? I saw Blur and Oasis at two small clubs in LA when they're both coming up, so I love them both. I saw Oasis at the Palace, and I saw Blur at actually a free show at Tower Records, which is no longer there. I saw Radiohead there too.
That's amazing.
Radiohead's good if you want to like take a nap.
But anyways, I love them both.
The first time I vehemently disagree with you, Andrea.
I don't like
them. They're both great. They're both great. So that's it.
I would say Team Oasis.
Yeah,
I think Oasis
done more.
I don't dislike Oasis. A lot of their stuff is very samey, like not with each other even, or with their own work, but like a few of their melodies are not very inspired.
I definitely like the Stone Roses better than either.
I'm gonna say Team Supergrass and just forget all that.
I'm into it.
And confuse 99% of our listening audience who knows anything about Britpop.
I love Supergrass.
So do I.
Team Stone Roses.
I think we're old. I think you and I are older than a lot of our audience, Mark.
Yeah,
because I'm even older than people my age. Like as far as music goes, I don't like young people music.
What do you mean? You like Arctic Monkeys?
I do like them pretty well, but I'm not like super familiar. I only know them because of my brother and my sister-in-law, and because of you and Blake.
Now, wait a minute. Jared says I'm not super familiar. Okay, it's fine. I say, and I quote, "I'm not that familiar with them." and all of a sudden, I think I'm dead to you.
But from, I've listened to like three or four of their albums.
You did it. You said that on purpose. You were trying to make me mad. So I was like,
no,
fine.
I'm being honest.
I'm pissed.
Well, I'm just glad we're back to all disagreeing. After we all have the same opinions on James Arnold Taylor versus Ewan McGregor, I'm glad. On one level, I really enjoy it when we all agree. But on, as far as good podcasting, it's like, let's ask a question. And everyone's like, yep, agree. Me too. Fourth one's also agree. it's not super interesting.
The one thing we can agree on is Tim likes stirring the pot.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Definitely true.
Because that's what
to get
I
us.
Do all the time.
Yeah.
You literally, right before we started, we're trying to start.
If we were on if we were on a Real Housewives show, you would be the one who would like be stirring the pot and be like, she talked about you. And then you're like confessional, you'd be like, oh, did I say that?
I mean, any good host is gonna stir the pot when it's sitting right in front of him.
Whatever, Tim.
I'm just saying, Tim.
We have some Twitter questions, so let's get to that.
I see all sorts of opportunities to stir the pot. Don't take them.
I was not
thinking about Tim being on Real Housewives.
No, I would love that. Let's
of Atlanta.
I'm doing a
that's right, I featured him on too.
I'm doing a change.org petition to get Tim as the first male unmarried Real Housewife. It's got to happen.
Real Housewife.
Tim would have a weave.
I swear, if that gets any like real like significant numbers on that petition, bye.
Bye.
Hashtag Real Housewives of 2187.
Yeah, no, that's our hashtag for today.
Yes.
No, but we got Twitter questions, you said.
Yeah, we do.
The hashtag unbelievable.
So we have one from Dan at X-Wing Dan, _ Dan. It says, will there be any, parentheses, even one, non-red lightsaber in Rogue One? I say no.
Yeah, nope.
Here we go again. But you're our last hope.
You think that we will see one?
I think we will see one.
No, I don't.
In Rogue
One? I think we've already seen one in the trailer.
Since when? Non-red?
Oh, you're talking about the statue of one?
Yep.
That doesn't count.
We don't know what color blade that is. Who knows how far back that goes? Maybe good Jedi used to use red ones too.
Maybe, but counts in my book.
Mark,
I just appreciate a different answer. Count.
I think you're assuming facts, not in evidence. We don't have enough information.
Isn't that what Twitter's all about?
Yes, it is. Agreed. Back to agreement.
Yep.
All right. Mark's got you on a technicality, but I think in the spirit of the questions it was asked, we would all agree.
But I don't see why there needs to be because
don't
at this point,
my mouth, Jared. Spirit of the question, we'd all agree. We'd agree with yourself in a corner.
What were you saying, Tim?
Hey now.
No, but yeah, I just don't think at this point there is a need to have any lightsabers at all, really. If we have Vader's, then that would make sense. But anything else is just going to be forced on us, like it would be if Han Solo walked past the camera, as we talked about a number of episodes ago.
Decades ago.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why that started to come out. But it would be forced, and it wouldn't really make much sense unless they specifically tried to work it in. And why?
Right, and I think the whole tone of the movie is them moving away from the Jedi point of view of Star Wars. So I think that would kind of be.
I would agree. I think the Jedi are going to be seen like Mark's answer, you know, referenced as like these fallen heroes of ages past, not anything active in the story. At least I hope not. I'd be disappointed if we saw any other lightsabers being used.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that it for your questions?
No, we have another one.
We're not going to entertain some of them, are we?
No.
Not necessary.
So,
well, and we most of us, like I think most of us addressed it already online. So
I'm only taking the actual question. So this one's from Robert Bartlett 7. He said, who's more likely to show up in Rogue One, Leia or R2 and C-3PO? And then he said I had a great picture and he loves that, but whatever. We'll skip that part.
he also jokingly asked if he could be on the show when he visits the States. And he's a good dude. Maybe so.
All right, wait, hold on. Jared, you said droids?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, what about everyone else?
So, droids. I think they're going to be in the same room with Bail, just chilling behind him. What's that?
Yeah, I would say like an Easter egg of droids.
So I would think that might be more likely, but I'm going to say I would prefer to have Leia show up. Because,
oh, I prefer to have Leia, obviously.
Well, because, look, she's a senator, right, in the Imperial area who's working with the Rebels, obviously. Her father is going to be in that room. This is taking place shortly before A New Hope. There's no reason to think story-wise that she wouldn't be in that room unless she's busy doing something else with the rebellion. So
where's
I would think it would be cool.
Mon Mothma, you know, before we see her the first time? I don't think we need to see everybody in the room all the time.
I don't think we need to have either Leia or 3PO and R2. I'm just saying between the two, I would rather story-wise have Leia be in that room.
See, personal preference, I would agree with Andrea, but story-wise I completely disagree because we've seen a lot of Bail and Rebels in that era doing rebellion stuff, none of which had been with Leia, but every time, I don't know.
Right, but Leia's been in Rebels too, though.
Yeah, but not with him.
That's a collection of the big people with the rebellion. They all are coming together. So if Bail's even there, there's no reason to think, not because she's his daughter. I'm just saying because she is also involved in the same capacity.
I think it'd be cooler if we saw at the end.
She's going to be in the Senate. She's a senator. She's not going to be hanging with the rebels right now.
I would agree with you, man. Like she's still under deep cover.
Yeah, she's covert.
I think it'd be better to see her not in that scene at all. If we were to see her, it would be at the end of the film, getting that information sent to her away from the rebels.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, like, it makes a lot more sense story wise.
Like a silhouette shot of her getting the plans. Oh my god.
No, I think that would be cooler and make more sense.
Oh, that'd be so rad.
That'd be sweet. But I also
we're gonna see all of them.
In fact, Rogue One is actually 4 hours long because it just blends right into A New Hope.
Oh,
they're re-releasing the original theatrical version, breaking news right now, and it's just going to be attached to Rogue One.
They're never re-releasing the theatrical version.
Speaking of money shots, everybody. I love that shot of Leia with her hood up.
Speaking of money shots, which we referred to last week. If we can do that, man, speaking of all sorts of things.
Speaking of Leia, wouldn't it be sweet if her and Jen were just like in a scene together, just with like banter? That'd be cool. Mm-hmm.
Then we could introduce Tracy Morgan, longtime Star Wars fan, into
God,
and he could shout out banter as he does from time to time.
And then he could never mind.
Walk around shirtless with his lightsaber, saying, "I am a Jedi."
No, that's not what I was going to reference.
Yeah, let's not make fun of anything tragic.
No. I was gonna reference the werewolf bar mitzvah song.
I like that one a great deal.
Are there any other? Because I'm unaware of these questions.
Nope.
Okay,
that was it.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. Didn't want to overlook anybody. I just, like I said, wasn't aware of that. So. Thank you everybody for listening. We had a surprisingly strong Star Wars episode. I'm both proud and surprised.
Yeah, when we rant and go on tangents, but they're Star Wars related, it fills me with pride. I'm proud. Yeah.
Right?
We did a good job, guys.
Proud Papa.
You are. You're our dad. Yeah. You're our podcast dad.
I got a scary family. You three. It'd be a long car trip for the three of you.
Yeah, we'd drive you nuts.
Oh god, I'd like just swerve off into a ditch.
I'd constantly ask for food.
I would try to sip of that.
Can we pull over? I'm really hungry.
Oh man, I had a road trip when I was 7 where I learned how to burp on command with my older brother had taught me to. My dad and I drove everyone else nuts by the end of the trip because we drove all the way from Phoenix to San Diego and burped the entire time. It was fantastic. Yeah. It's a highlight of my childhood.
Yeah, always. Stuff like that's always good to remember.
That highlight sounds like an awesomely perfect place to end this episode. So thank you guys for all being on.
Thanks, Tim.
I don't think we'll be doing this again till after Halloween. So happy Halloween, guys!
Happy Halloween.
Yeah, it'll be like November 1st, right? Or is that right? We're gonna record on Tuesday next week.
I think so. Yeah.
All right. So it'll be November. Okay.
Probably record Tuesday after that, too. I'll tell you guys later.
Sweet.
Okay.
All right. Laters.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye.